You're listening to Weekend from the BBC World Service with Andrew Peach. Let's talk about Afghanistan. The withdrawal of foreign troops is set for next year, and there's real concern that Afghan troops and police won't be ready to take over security for the country. The infiltration of the army and police force by the Taliban has been a huge problem. Human rights campaigners fear advances in women's rights are going to be set back as well. We were talking about this exactly this time yesterday on the BBC World Service with the judge from the TV talent show The Voice of Afghanistan, who's had death threats because she dared to go on the TV at all for some people, but certainly go on the TV not wearing a veil. This week, one of the most high-profile female officers, Lieutenant Islam Bibi, was shot dead. And in interviews shortly before she was killed, she too revealed she'd had regular death threats just because she was a woman who'd chosen a career in the military. She said her own brother had tried to kill her three times. One person who knows the difficulties for Afghan women in the army is the British photographer and journalist Lally Snow. Lally spent 6 months with a group of women soldiers when she was making her film documentary Afghan Army Girls.
Zainab's engaged to someone of her parents' choosing, an arranged marriage. Age 21, she hasn't yet told her fiancé about her new career. Homa, 25, is a single mother and has recently returned to the country, bringing with her some radical ideas about the role of women. Samir was brought up as a boy and has therefore never had to lift a finger at home. Now 21, her parents have made her join the army.
The programme follows the lives of female cadets inside the barracks and on patrol, also gets the views of their families and the foreign officers who train them, people like US Staff Sergeant Janel Travis.
Zainab is doing extraordinarily well. She gets it, she answers all her questions.
Despite her success in the classroom, Zainab's personal life has deteriorated. Her fiancé has discovered she's in the army and turned up at the camp. He mistook Staff Sergeant Travis for a man, and now he's accusing Zainab of immoral behaviour.
I'm so unhappy about this, that he said for me that you sleep with American men.
There's no men here.
Yes, I know, and also you know that there is no American men. But he said that Zainab sleep all the week with American men. I'm so angry about this speech. So angry.
You want me to draw a mustache on myself?
No, that's enough.
They want to be where everyone else is, but they value the things that they stood for, the things that they had. The fact that they live as females in this country is amazing. That in itself, without accomplishing anything else in life, is probably harder than anything I'll ever have to do.
Well, Lally Snow, who made the documentary you've just been listening to some excerpts from, is live with us from Kabul. Lally, thank you for being with us on Weekend. How did you get access to the women serving in the army?
By being really, really annoying, basically, to ISAF and NATO. And it took me about a year to get the access, from 2010 to 11. And I wasn't given no as an answer. So until you're given no as an answer, you just keep trying. And in the end, I think one of the public affairs officers she got annoyed with me so much that she just said, OK, fine, go and make the film.
And your passion for this, I mean, clearly fascinating stories to tell about women who are making such a radical choice in the country they live in.
Well, yes. I mean, it was completely sort of novel. I mean, I photographed the first group of cadets for the Telegraph magazine in 2010, and then I got the access to make this it was the third group of cadets. So, I mean, it was it's a labour of love for sure. But that's what you do as a freelancer. There, you have to.
And can you give me some sense from the women you've met as to why they've made this choice in a country where, you know, as I mentioned at the start of the piece, you know, women going on television is controversial. Women serving in the military must be all the more so. Why are they making that choice?
Various reasons, to be honest. I think for someone like Zainab, who's very, very forward-thinking, a very bright girl, you know, I think she actually says at the very beginning of the film, if we don't take these steps, you know, is our generation, then who else will? We've got to lead the way for the next generation. For some of the other girls, who didn't end up being characters in the film, although they were kind of, you know, in the running for it. You know, their reason for joining are, you know, purely, you know, might be economical. You know, there's one girl, Shabnam, who her father died when she was, I think she was very, you know, a baby or something, and her mother was working and her brother was working, and Shabnam had to go out and work as well. But she also, you know, for some of the other girls, it was a great chance to learn at the same time as working, so that, you know, they got to learn English and computer skills and got, you know, life skills and a guaranteed job at the end of the day. However, that came with a caveat of working with men, if they go on to work at the Ministry of Defence, or working with international forces. So incredibly dangerous. But a number of different reasons, really.
I just wanted to say, for one thing, that is the most fantastic film. I watched it. I was very interested in the subject. Time had covered the woman called Sadaf Rahimi, who hoped to compete in the Olympics last year and for Afghanistan, and had...
Oh, the boxer.
Exactly, the boxer, who faced many of the same sorts of issues about, you know, choosing something that looked like a crazy choice, but actually in a land of very little opportunity represented this. So, you know, I understood the themes, but I think the way you tackled them, the human stories you got there are so spectacular, and I really hope people watch this film. Also, everybody, they're all heroes. The American soldiers who are there doing the training, they're extraordinary.
I was going to say that. I thought excellent film and very moving stories of the Afghan women. But the American staff sergeant, I thought, was another hero of that film, because she's actually trying very hard and to some extent succeeding in understanding the culture and in empathizing with her pupils, so to speak. I mean, there's an English educator as well, but the American staff sergeant sort of caught the imagination. My nephew's just come back from Afghanistan, and I think that the main thing that he took back from, he's in the German army, that what he says is, whatever else we do there, the progress women have been making and which has to be maintained is really the key of anything we do there.
Let's pick up on that theme, Lally. I mean, the cause of women's rights has no doubt been advanced in the last decade while coalition troops have been in Afghanistan. As we build up to those troops going home, there are real fears that the cause of women's rights could be set back decades.
Well, this is the issue, and I think that there is a huge disconnect between ISAF and NATO and, you know, the very country they're living in, for various reasons. And I think that they, as we're gearing up to 2014, 31st December, when all combat troops withdrawn, I think the international community is going to jump on the bandwagon of women's rights. And, I mean, essentially, the war in Afghanistan, the story's been written, it's over. You know, everyone knows what's going to happen. There's nothing new that's going to happen out here. And I think that jumping on this, it makes me very, sorry, I'm not being very clear, it makes me very angry, because that people are jumping on this bandwagon of women's rights and saying how we've advanced them. And yes, you know, some girls can go to school now. Yes, women can join the army now. But this is just in Kabul. If you go out into the provinces, nothing's really changed. And it's not, you know, it's not really a fair assessment. It's not really a fair kind of thing to bring into Afghanistan right now, because it's culturally very, very, very different to anything that we've got in the West. So women's rights and emancipation, yes, it's important, but there's no infrastructure to keep it sort of sustained. And I don't know, this whole kind of withdrawal, of troop withdrawal, you know, the war is over, we've won, we're going home now, but look, at least we've given women their rights back. And
you're right that there's an awful lot of rewriting of history, because the reason for going into Afghanistan was not to ensure women's rights.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
You know, there is obviously, there is now recognition that the only way forward in security terms is to involve the Taliban, but involving the Taliban clearly has implications for women's rights. So,
exactly.
You know, I think you're hearing the history books being written in ways that will be challenged down the line, but that won't be much use to the people who are living on the ground.
No, exactly. And it's not, you know, Afghan women, they're very afraid. If you speak across the board, they're very afraid of what's going to happen.
So would you prefer combat troops to remain in Afghanistan?
No, I mean, to be honest, I don't think we should have gone in the first place. And I think we have to go. And I think Afghanistan needs to stand on its own feet. And, you know, we can't just carry on staying, we couldn't stay here any longer. I've been here for, 14 years or something now? 12 years. But, I mean, I don't really know what the answer is, but I think for the public policy and the public opinion for women's rights is being bandied around far too much as being a success story.
Lani, thank you very much indeed for being with us and spending some time in our bureau there in Kabul. That's Lani Snow, who made the film we've been talking about, and this is a subject we're going to return to again and again, no doubt, over the coming months on the BBC World Service. With me in the studio for this edition of Weekend, I've got Catherine Mayer, who's the Europe editor for Time magazine, and Sebastian Borger, who also works here in London for various German language publications. We'll have much more from them and more about the news of the day on the way for you. If you can stay with us here on the BBC World Service,